Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contentious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Your Half Hour Inspirational Program. This is a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm going to be with you. I'm a host tonight, Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 minutes. Before we get started with our broadcast tonight, we're going to say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your blessings to bring this show to us tonight. We pray that you will be in the midst of us and help us to have a successful program, and those who may be listening, that they will enjoy what they hear. These and other blessings, we thank you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, tonight we're talking about, it's kind of a follow-up from last night's show, the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. And this follow-up basically deals with, financial stability. Last night's show was financial stability based on do you have a formula for financial stability in your future? That was last night's topic. Tonight we're going to talk about financial security based on the Word of God. Now, you know, one of my scriptures that I sort of live by, and that is where the scripture talks about, it's a scripture whereas, it says, above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And I think that that's, excuse me, I think that is a very powerful scripture. If we take time to reflect on that scripture, excuse me, and what it actually means, that I think that, that we would really come to the realization that, you know, God cannot lie. He cannot lie. So when he says that, it's found in John 2, chapter 3 of John, the third chapter of John, verse 2, and he says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." And I think that that's a very important scripture, because when you depend on God for your blessings and you act as if those blessings are coming, and that's where faith comes in. And I believe that if you exercise that faith, without doubt, then your blessings will come to fruition. And one of the things that I look at is, he says here, beloved, he's talking about his children. He wished above all things, that you prosper. You know, we can look at the word prosper and see what that means. Prosper to me means, you know, to do well in life. I can put a lot of terms on the word prosper that I might think is associated with. But I think it may become subjective to the individual looking at the word prosper for themselves. Prosper could be, advancing to the next grade level, from third grade to fourth grade. That's prosperity. That's growing. Or prosperity could be associated, the word prosper could be associated with money. So there's a number of things that we can look at and see when it comes to prosper or prosperity. And I'm thinking that God, he separates, you know, things. He talks about, above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in good health. And so I think he's associating that differently because he used the word, that conjunction there, and. So I think that that becomes, I think that we need to take a look at that. And when we see the word prosper, we need to look at, maybe take a closer look at it. Now, you know, we're looking at the dictionary's definition of the word prosper. It talks about, it's a verb, succeed in material terms, be financially successful. So, I mean, you know, that's one area, you know. Another one is archaic to mean make successful. God has wonderfully for this nation. Another definition, flourish physically, grow strong and healthy. So we're looking at succeed in material terms, be financially successful. So to prosper, which is a root word for prosperity, I think that God wants us to prosper, meaning to me, he wants us to do well. I wish above all things. I mean, you think about it when you for example, those of you all who have children, and you want your children to really do better than you did. So even though you may have done well in your life, or even if you felt that you did not, you want what you want. Parents who love their children, you want them to exceed you. You want them to do better. If you did not make good decisions in your earlier years, and now you're in your later years, and you have children, you want to encourage them that they prosper, that they do better, that they advance, you know, perhaps educationally, mentally, psychologically, physically, financially. You want them to prosper. And you also want them to be in good health, in health. And this is what God is saying. He wants you to prosper, to do well, whether that well means advance to the next level, advance in your studies, advance academically, advance financially, advance mentally, whatever it is, to prosper. And that's the conjunction, and be in health, even as thou soul prosper. So he wants the soul to prosper as well. Now, when I think about the soul prospering, how does the soul prosper? Well, my philosophy is that we are spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings. Having a human experience. Now, this is just me talking. As a spiritual being, having a human experience. So when I look at it here and I say, well, how does my soul prosper? Well, to me, in order for our souls to prosper, we need to feed that spiritual person. Feed that spiritual person. If it's and how do you feed the spiritual person? You feed the spiritual person by getting involved into the Word of God. You know, just like we have the physical food to feed the body, you know, we need food to feed the spirit. And I just don't think that, I think it's a difference that our spiritual food, our physical food, feeding the spirit. I think that takes care of the physical aspect of our lives. We need something that will feed that spirit person, that spirit man or that spirit woman. And that's the Word of God. Because the Bible tells us that man shall not live by bread alone. That's the physical aspect. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's the Holy Bible, the Scriptures, God's Word. And so if you're struggling with things in your life, and you need to find a way to prosper, then I encourage you, I strongly encourage you to look at the Word of God and see what the Word of God means for your life. You know, God did something so wonderful. He gave every one of us free will. He's saying in the free will, you don't have to even worship me, you know, but he's given us that free will, that component for us that if we want to worship him, we can choose to worship him, or we can choose not to. He still loves us. He still loves us. And, you know, we fall short. We fall short all the time when it comes to God. But he still, for some reason, he loves us. And it's like a parent. You know, when your child just won't do the things that you would hope that they would do. They may not stay on the right path. They may not stay on the right course. But you know what? You, as a parent, you're not so eager to give up on them. You don't easily give up on them. You try to stay there and you try to encourage them to do what's right. And even though sometimes it costs you pain, well, I believe that it bothers God when we don't follow the plan that he lays out for us. I believe it really truly bothers him. And so when we're looking at parity, when we're looking at financial stability based on the word of God, you know, there are a number of people who get themselves so caught up into saying, well, you know what, I'm going to win this lottery. I'm just going to stick with that. I'm going to stay with that. And I know that one day God's going to bless me to win that lottery. Well, you know, I'm not judging anybody who may feel that they're going out there to engage and plan the lottery and invest their faith, that they believe that. I just hope and trust that they're not putting up their mortgage or their rent payment or their, you know, or their car payment or their bill money, the bills money to invest into something that that maybe one out of several million people could possibly win. And I've known people to lose their houses. I've known them to lose their bank accounts. I've known them to, it's almost like an addiction to a drug. You get caught up into gambling like that, and you have hope with that. But I would encourage you to put more into a hope of God. Invest with him. Invest with him and say, you know what, God, I'm going to plant a seed into a project, and I'd like you to collaborate with me. I'd like you to collaborate with me. That, God, you know, I want to invest in you to the point where my investment will pay off and it's guaranteed because I'm investing with you. Now, I encourage you, find a way to do that. To say, well, you know what, I'm going to go there and I'm going to invest with God. I'm going to find the way to invest with him so that I can really prosper. It might be that, you know what, God, I'm going to spend some quality time with you, 15 minutes a day, you know, starting out. And then I can assure you, as you start to spend that time with God, the 15 minutes a day, it will probably advance. I mean, you can really, if you're going after him like you're thirsty for water, I believe that 15 minutes can turn into 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and before you know it, you've spent a lot of time in the Word of God. And I believe that your soul would begin to prosper. I believe that you will begin to see change even within yourself. And you might be surprised later to know that, you know what? I'm no longer that man or that woman that I used to be. You know, I'm now involved in something greater than myself. And then people around you will also recognize a change and start to say, well, you know, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. And then that's what you want. You want them to be able to recognize that there's something different about you. Because I think that as we draw closer to God, he will draw closer to us. And in that closeness, you know, when we start to establish that relationship with him, I believe personally that we start to bring about a positive change in our lives. I believe that the old things will pass away for us. And then we take on a newness. And I think that newness becomes so beautiful. I really do. I believe it becomes really beautiful. And it's like, you know what, you have no desires for those old things anymore.
You now want the new things that about God. That's what you want now. And so I encourage each one of you all, under the sound of my voice, to find a way to start spending some time, daily basis. You know, and it means that you just got to start out by praying. And you pray a prayer and say, well, God, please, you know, you ask him, show me how to pray. Show me how to pray. And, you know, and I believe that whatever you ask of him, he will do it, especially when you're trying to find him. I think that makes a big difference right there. When you are trying to find God, I believe that if you seek him with everything that you have, when you seek him, you will find him. When you seek him with your heart diligently, you will find him. And I believe that that's what it will take. It will take going after him, to pursue him. And then tonight we're talking about financial stability based on the word of God. And I think that that's what it's going to take. So, you know, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. You know, if you're struggling right now, no matter where you are, if you feel that you don't know how you're going to make it from one day to the next, tonight we're concentrating on financial blessings, financial security based on the word of God. Get into the word of God. I believe that some answers will start to come your way. Answers will start to come your way that may shock and amaze you. When you thought that you just didn't have a clue of where this was coming from. But I know also in everything that we do when we're praying, we have to do our part. If you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I need a job, you know, and I'm just waiting on somebody to let phone to ring or I'm waiting for someone to knock on my door that's going to give me a job, I don't see that happening. I see that if you want that job, I think that we've got to do our part, prepare ourselves, get dressed, go out there and look for the job. And I think that that's what it's going to take. It's a connection. It's having that faith, that walk of faith. God, today I'm going out, and I'm going to look for this job, and God, I'm going to trust you that every day that I go out, I'm getting closer to the job that you have in store for me. I'm getting closer to it. So it may take a couple of days, may take a few weeks, may even take a couple of months or more. But guess what? The fact that you're still going out there means, you know, you're still able to shower, which means you can still buy soap to shower with. You still have clothes on your back. You still have somewhere to stay. You still have some means of transportation to get out there, you know, and you're able to get back. So something is sustaining you while you're in the process of looking. And then as you get out there and you're seeking for that employment, somewhere along the way, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. But the faith comes in that there's an expectation. That's where the faith comes in. There's an expectation that God's going to do something for you in your life because you counted on him. You expected something from him. You prayed about that. You exercise your faith by going out there, doing your part. And God will never fail you. He will not fail you. Even if it's not the job that you want, he's got something. There's to me, it's a training process. It's a test that we go through. I mean, there's so many things. If you just look at life, to me, it's a series of tests. We either pass or we fail. You know, and sometimes in that process, you know, there requires some preparation. There requires preparation. I know my own personal story. I took what's called the MPRE. That's the Multi-State Professional Responsibility Exam in preparation to become an attorney. And so you really have to study. There's a lot of rules that attorneys need to know. And you learn them up under the Multi-State Professional Responsibility Exam.
the rules that lawyers have to know. There's a lot of rules. So I took the class in law school. I passed the class in law school. And then the class was supposed to prepare me. You know, that was part of the thing. That was only a portion of it, to take the class to prepare for the exam. Okay, I passed the law school class, but now you have to take a state exam, the MPRE, the multi-state professional responsibility exam, to show that you know the content of what you learned in law school. Now, in addition to law school, passing that exam in law school, you would often have to take study aid material, some other material to help you to prepare for the, you know, upcoming exam. Because you may finish law school and the exam is not for several weeks or months after you finish law school. So now, because we're human, we don't always retain everything that we read, everything that we've learned. So, and especially if you're older like me, you have to go in and you got to find some study material in addition to the law books that you may have studied, some type of material that you need. Well, the NCBE, that's the National Conference of Bar Examiners, they have a website, and I didn't really look at their study aids, their material, but I relied on other materials, supplemental materials that some people may have used. But I relied on doing this by myself. I just thought that I was smart enough. I mean, I've got a doctorate degree. I just felt that I was smart enough to go out there and study on my own whenever I wanted to at my leisure. And I really didn't put a lot into it. I really did not in that study. I figured, okay, I passed the class. I didn't really know how serious that exam was for the state. And then I went out and I took the exam. And I took it sort of cavalier, you know, sort of casually. And then when I got my results some time later, I discovered that I did not pass. And you talk about disappointed. I was highly disappointed. I mean, highly disappointed, because I felt, well, my goodness, I put a lot of time in. I took the class in law school, and I looked occasionally at some other material. But then when I really thought about it as time passed, and I had a great deal of time to reflect on that exam, I looked in the mirror and became honest with myself and said, you know what? You didn't really study like you should have studied. You really did not study like you should have studied. And I was my greatest critic. And I realized, I said, you know what, you can't, when it comes to something that you desperately want, you know, and that was something that I desperately wanted, to pass that exam, because I want to really be a lawyer. And this is in preparation for becoming a lawyer. And I said, you know what, I have nobody to blame but myself. I was praying, hoping for a Hail Mary pass, like Doug Flutie threw the Hail Mary pass. I was hoping for that somebody, that God would catch that and allow me to pass the exam. But without me having done my full part. And let me tell you, the next time around, when I got those results, and I didn't waste time. I went in preparation for that exam for the next time. And let me tell you, I studied every day for several hours a day. I tested myself every day throughout the day. And let me tell you, I spent countless times. I would often leave home and leave my wife and go to study for sometimes hours, 2-3 hours at a time sometimes. And I was putting in a lot of time, you know, trying to avoid any interruptions or distractions. And I realized, listen, I'm learning this stuff now. Oh, I remember this from law school now. Okay, now I started taking exams, and I started passing those exams. I'm talking about in terms of self-testing now. I really started just testing myself over the material that I covered until I really got this down to where I felt comfortable. Then the time came for the exam. I filled out all my paperwork, went in, took the exam, and I prayed again this time, like I did the first time. But this time, I prayed, and the difference was I had prepared. I had done my part rather than just throw a Hail Mary pass up there and say, well, God, you know, all things work together for the good. God, you know, all things are possible with you. It's going to take a little bit more than that. You got to do your full due diligence. You got to do your full part if you're expecting God to do his part, because there's that expectation. So this time around, when I got my, after preparing, duly preparing, and I got my results a few weeks later, a few months later, and when I saw my score, I was excited because I had passed with high marks. And to God be the glory, I was so excited. I scored very highly on that exam. And so the point that I want to make here is, and for all of you all that are listening, who are listening, you have got, when it comes to financial security based on the word, you can take the word of God and put it back to him. And, you know, God, you said, and that's what I do. But you know what? If we're not doing our part, can there be an expectation? For example, as a parent, if you tell your children, you know, let's say you tell your son, well, son, you've got to wash these dishes, and you've told them how to prepare, you know, to make, how you want those dishes done and so forth and so on. All right, just like the word of God tells us stuff. And then the son goes in there and you say to the son, well, look, you are responsible for taking care of this kitchen for the entire week, cleaning those dishes after dinner for an entire week without me having to even say anything to you. I've already given you the word, my instruction. Take care of the kitchen, and this is how you do it. I've already taught you how to do that. And let's say they're 9 or 10 years of age. And now the kid says, well, Dad, I want to really get it, or Mom, I would like to really get me a bicycle. You know, I would love to have a bicycle. You know, can I get a bicycle for my birthday? Well, even if you're on a budget, if you're on that budget and you're saying to your kid, well, son, that's going to be a little rough for us. But see, unlike a parent, there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. God can do anything he chooses to do. But with a parent, sometimes it can be a little rough. And even sometimes when you have it as a parent that you can do it, you're not just doing it for the sake of doing it. You want your child to earn that. You want them to earn it. So they say, I want this bicycle for my birthday. My birthday is in 2 months. Then you say, son, make good grades in school. Do your chores around the house. Don't let me have to keep telling you every day to pick up after yourself. And so now you say, and they say, well, Dad, will I be able to get it? You say, son, if you can keep maintain your chores, if you can take the dog out and feed the dog, you know, when he's supposed to go out to be taken care of, and I don't have to keep telling you to do stuff, and you take responsibility, you do your part, son, and I can assure you, you're going to get that bicycle. You're going to get that bicycle. Now, the son has an expectation from the parent. There's an expectation. And but the expectation, and even sometimes the son may not be able to take, doesn't take the dog out all the time, but he makes the effort. And he makes a great effort to try to do this, a great effort. And he tries to maintain consistency with it. The parents know sometimes that things happen. Child might not be feeling well one day. And so he can't do, maybe not be able to do the dishes. The child has an overabundance of homework, so he can't do something. But he makes the effort. You know, he makes an honest effort. You know, so, and that's how God looks at us. He looks at our effort. You know, how much do we want this? How much are we going to pursue to do our part? And I can assure you, when you have that expectation from God, it will come through. That boy gets his bicycle, and it makes him feel so good because now his expectations were fulfilled. Listen, we're out of time. I hope this program has been a blessing to you as much as it has been. Join us back here live next Friday for your half-hour inspirational program, and trust God for your financial security based on the word of God. Until next Friday, or join us next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. And until one of those dates, Listen, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.